Blog Talk Radio.
From the pits to the stands, from the drivers to the fans, it's time for Race Fans Rock with your host, Infield Chin.
Hey there, race fans, and what's up? Thanks for tuning in to Race Fans Rock Radio Show tonight. I'm your host, Infield Jen, and I couldn't wait to get this show started. I have an amazing guest coming on tonight. He was my dedicated fan and stand reporter at Sonoma Raceway. His name is Paul Wilkinson, and he's better known as the Infield Guru. And we'll talk to him about what he did and saw this past weekend in wine country and how he got to be known as the Infield Guru. Sounds like fun. Now, I hope you guys all had a great week since our last show, and I know I did. First, I want to give a shout-out to all my friends in New York City in the LGBT community. They celebrated their Pride Week this past weekend, and from the pics they sent me, it looks like they had a blast as always. I miss those guys and girls. They're pretty cool people. But they celebrated a huge milestone this week. Well, actually, the whole community celebrated a huge milestone this week with the passing of the law that allows gay men and women to get married in all 50 states. So kudos to them, and good luck, and happy marriages. All right. So, like I said, this week was pretty awesome for me because, you know, for the first time in my life, okay, I bought a brand new car. That's right. I was finally able to get rid of the big blue beast. Now, for those of you listening who follow me on social media, you know what I'm talking about. But for those of you just tuning in tonight, let me explain. About 2 weeks before I moved to North Carolina in 2010, which puts me at mid-March 2010, I needed to get a bigger vehicle to literally move me, my dog Bowser, God rest his soul, and all my things, which was basically a one-bedroom apartment, you know, full of stuff, and I had to get it down in North Carolina. Well, I had a Saturn, okay, and it had motor problems. It was a four-cylinder car, and it was running on about two of them, if I was lucky. So anyway, I was driving home, or should I say I was actually coming home from work with my coworker, and she was in the car, and I told her, I said, Eileen, I need a bigger truck. I said, what am I going to do? No sooner did I say that I turned the corner with her in the car, and there was the big blue beast. It was sitting there on the corner with a sign on it that said for sale. Needless to say, I bought it about later on that night, maybe like the next day, and 2 weeks later, I rented a 6x12 U-Haul trailer, and I moved myself to North Carolina. So the plan was to get rid of it when I got here, because I didn't really want a truck that big, you know. I kind of felt I didn't like it. I really just never really liked it. But that was in 2010. So the plan was to get rid of it 2 weeks after I got here. And I got to tell you, I thought I would never get rid of it. But I got to say, the one thing about that damn car is it always started. Now, I put the key in it, and it turned over every time, unless the battery was dead, which did happen once, but whatever. But if it wasn't one thing, it was another with that car. The brakes were always a problem. Like, always a problem. Brake and gas lines were replaced. I always had to add water to it. You know, I say all the cars, the truck's thirsty. I poured gallons and gallons of water in it, whatever. It still went, right? It had its quirks, but it still went. One of the other quirks was if I turned on the air conditioner, it was like hitting the kill switch because the beast would just shut off. So I never had air conditioning. If I wanted it, I just have to either drive fast, pray that the brakes work, and get some air in the car. But like I said, it had its quirks, and it felt like I would never, ever get rid of it. Well, for years, my dad had always told me, like, he wanted to buy me a brand new car. And we would talk about new cars that came out, and if I liked the car, you know, I'd tell him about it, and he would go research it. And he'd call me back, and, you know, we'd talk about it. And this went on for, like, a long time, but he was never in a position where he was able to buy me that car, you know. So my dad passed in February 2014, which, you know, which was horrible, and you know, it's horrible I don't have him around anymore, but this week, he was finally able to buy me my brand new car. I received my inheritance from him, and Brian went with me to the Ford dealership in Huntersville, and we bought me a brand new 2016 Ford Fusion. It's white, and it has a lot of buttons. It's got a touch screen, so it's really, really cool, and I got a lot to learn with this new car, but let me tell you, it's a pleasure to drive, and I can't say enough about it. I really wish my dad was here to see it, and, you know, I thank him very much for fulfilling his promise to me, even though he's no longer here, which really, really sucks, you know? But I know he would have loved this car as much as I do, so thanks, Dad. All right, enough about me. Let's talk a little about what's going on at Brian Keselowski Motorsports. I have great, great news. Now, we're finally going to be able to get Brian back on track in the Ucker Racing Series with his brand-new Ford Fusion as well. Now, I was getting really, if we were going to have the chance to actually do it this year, you know? But we got some sponsorships, and a lot of it had to do with the race fans who I was able to turn into sponsors this year. And so you see, every little bit really does help us put another piece in the puzzle and get back on track. So we're going to be going to Lucas Oil Raceway in Indiana with the ARCA Racing Series for the ARCA 2, for the Sous Chef 200 at Lucas Oil Raceway. And the race is set for Friday, July 24th, and it will be aired on Fox Sports 1. So make sure you root and cheer us on, okay? Now, I will not have to go over the wall, and I am kind of glad about that. Let me tell you why. After everything that happened at Chicago and with my damn catch can getting stuck on the second round of pit stops. Anyway, but Brian has the NASCAR gas system in it, which eliminates the need for a catch can. So I'm really okay with that. And we also did that to Matt's car this year because I did not want to be the cause of anyone's penalty. So I'm not going over the wall with doing that right now. Now, if I had known that my catch can could have gotten stuck, I probably never would have ever went over the wall in the first place. You know, I'll still be active in the pits, so I'll be catching tires or gas cans or whatever needs to be done, you know. But I'm going to leave the going over the wall stuff to the other guys, and I'll just take pictures of them doing it. But I did have my fun, and I had a thrill doing it, lots of fun, you know. So I'm glad I did what I did, and I had the chance to experience that. It's an adrenaline rush, and I can't even say enough about it. But anyway, so we do have some space still available on a car, and if anybody wants to get on board, you know, let me know, and we'll talk about it a little later on in the show. So let's move on and talk a little bit about what happened this past weekend at Sonoma Raceway. Now, Sonoma is on my short list of tracks that I have yet to have attended, so that kind of bums me out because, you know, all weekend long I hear of all the fun people having at the wineries and at the track, and damn it, I want to do all that, you know? I just keep saying one day I'll get there, so mark my words, one day I'll get there, right? But aside from that, I have to say it's a hard track to race. And not just because you have to turn left and right, but, you know, one wrong move and your day is pretty much done. Now, on oval tracks, you know, you can scrape a wall and keep going, but you hit a wall at Sonoma and, you know, say hello to an early day because you're done, and probably so is the car. You know, David Gilliland and Martin Truex Jr. whacked those tire walls and completely destroyed their cars. So it's like all or nothing at that track, you know, it's one or the other. But and for the cars that did remain on the track, you know, most of the time it was only with two wheels on the track. And you would have thought they replaced the Sunoco fuel with the Red Bull because some of those cars up there look like they had wings. Now, I've seen several pictures of the cars that were really, really high off the ground. You know, I guess I would have to say I would hate to be there on Monday for that kind of teardown. But, you know, I took it to social media, as I do about everything, and asked you, the race fans, what you thought of the racing at Sonoma. And some of the responses that I received were, Rick Boozman said, "I'm not too excited about road courses." Okay. Now, Dinah and Thompson said, posted, "Road courses are the new short track races. A lot of moving people out of the way. I would love to see VIR and Daytona Roval added to the track." Interesting. Jimmy Green said, "I'm not a big road course fan, but Sunday's race was really interesting." So I guess he might become a road course fan, maybe. You never know. Brandon Locke, who was a dedicated fan and the Stand reporter at Vegas, he chimed in and posted, "I love the road courses. Now, don't get me wrong, the ovals are great with speed, etc., but the road courses add a whole new element to racing, fuel mileage, left turns, handling, etc., and taking care of the car. These cars get the crap beat out of them on a road course, and it's awesome to see just how much they and the drivers can take before they fall apart. I think there needs to be a couple more road course races on the schedule." Now, Dinah Thompson replied to him and said that the Daytona Roval is awesome for stock cars. You get the mix of the road course turns and oval track racing. Plus, fans can see the whole track from the stands. Pretty cool for the fans. Now, Ron Mastino chimed in and said, "Sunday's race was awesome." And by the way, he was actually at the race. He said they have added so much for the fans' experience. Plus, the racing was great from the drop of the green flag. So I'm sure Paul will hint on that a little bit more in detail when we get him on the phone. Now, Mitch Temple, I'm going to just guess by what he wrote, he is not a Kyle Busch fan because he wrote that he didn't like the finish. Come on, Mitch. Kyle did so good coming back. You got to give him something. Tough crowd. Charlie Rottenberry said, better racing at Sonoma than all the mile and a half tracks. Donkey enjoyed it. William DeBoer came on and said NASCAR needs more road courses, period. William was also a dedicated fan of the stand over at Richmond a few weeks ago. Jerry Smith chimed in and said, great, agree, more road courses, less 1.5-mile go-roundy. All right, so there you have it. Those are some of the responses, and, you know, like I said, I ask and the fans respond. So I want to thank everyone who took the time out of their day to share their opinions about Sonoma, and if I didn't read your comments on the air, just know that I did read through each and every one of them. But no matter what your opinion was of Sonoma, I can tell you that there were two brothers who absolutely loved the racing at Sonoma, and of course I'm talking about the Busch brothers, Kyle and Kurt, who finished first and second for the first time ever in their NASCAR careers. Now, Kyle Busch is now eligible for the chase, provided he can get himself into the top 30 in points, which means he would have to average a finish of 14th or 15th place from here on out. Now, he definitely has the ability to do it, and whether you like him or not, you have to admit he is one hell of a racer. After everything he's been through this year, after his horrific accident at Daytona, broken leg, fractured ankle and foot, and then to come back, and within just a few weeks, he's already seen victory lane twice. Come on, you have to give him credit because it's really well-deserved. So congratulations are in order for Kyle Busch on his awesome win and to his older brother, Kurt, who also had issues at the beginning of this year, and he has also come back to the driver's seat stronger than ever. Kudos to the Busch brothers. And hey, did you see that trophy that Kyle got? It was a wine barrel. Whew. I wonder if it was full. That's the first thing I thought of when I saw it. That's my kind of trophy. Just give me a straw and a trophy, and I will be good. Oh, and did you hear that Sonoma gave Jeff Gordon a ginormous bottle of wine? I think it was something like 18 liters or 18 gallons. I mean, it was huge. Again, it was something I would have liked to have had with a straw. So with all this wine going around, you know, no wonder those cars were up on two wheels. Seriously. Your top 10 was Kyle Busch, followed by his brother Kurt Busch. Clint Bowyer came in third. Kevin Harvick took home fourth place. Joey Logano topped out in fifth position. Previous Sonoma winner Jimmy Johnson came in sixth. And newly engaged Dale Earnhardt Jr. brought it home in seventh place. New father-to-be Casey Kane finished in eighth position, while two-time daddy Ryan Newman took the ninth place spot. And Sam Hornish Jr. had a great day by rounding out the top 10. Jamie Mack finished 11th, and Tony Stewart came in 12th. Now, Tony's been struggling this year, you know, but that was not a bad finish for him at Sonoma. So hoping he can turn it around next week at Daytona where anything can happen, and it usually does. All right. As you all know, I am really excited about having my dedicated fan in the stand reporters at almost every track on the NASCAR circuit. Now, I started doing this year at Atlanta on a whim, when a dedicated fan who follows me sent me some pictures of her view from her spot in the grandstand. Now, her name was Alicia Murphy, and really, it's thanks to her doing that I started my dedicated fan in the stand reporters, and it's really, really taken off. So since I started, I've gotten to meet some really interesting and dedicated race fans who provide and paint the picture of what it's like to be at the races from their point of view. They forward me their track updates, their pictures of the drivers that they get to meet, and tell me how much fun that they've had. And it's a fun time for everybody who follows along, too. So this week was super cool because my dedicated fan in the stand reporter was the infield guru himself. Now, I'm talking about Paul Wilkinson, and I have him on the line right now. Hey, Paul.
Hi, Jen.
Welcome
to Race
Fans Rock. Good.
Thank
how
you.
Are
hey,
you?
First time caller.
I don't have that cool little Dave Moody jingle.
Oh, I'm sorry.
But thank you. But I heard it in my head. But Paul, I know you had a great time at the track. Your pictures are total proof of that. So I want to get to it all, and I want to talk about everything you do and all about, you know, how you became known as the infield guru. But let's start from the beginning. When did you actually become a race fan?
Well, I've been a race fan for a long time. In fact, a third cousin of mine is actually Gordon Johncock, who's an Indy race car driver who won 1982 and 1972 the Indy 500. Lived down the road from us in Michigan where I grew up. And then I kind of shifted over to NASCAR after the Indy split up with the CART and IRL, and the Indy thing series kind of just split in the different directions and stuff, and it just made it hard to follow. And started kind of doing it then. That's kind of when I started really kind of looking at NASCAR, following it specifically as a huge fan. Probably 10 years ago, when a friend of mine up in Michigan, she has an infield site every race in Michigan, and I go to the races there as well. And she, you know, I was having a hard time, bad part of my life, and she invited me out to the races, and so I said, you know what, I'm going to do it. And so ever since then, you know, I've been going to the infield races in Michigan pretty much every year.
Very cool. So that was the first race that you went to, was in Michigan?
Yeah, that was in 2006, actually, when I did that.
Cool. Well, now, I saw that you had some of your family with you this weekend, and they were they always race fans, or did you have to kind of train them into that?
No, this is actually, my daughter actually flew in from Michigan. We picked her up at LAX on the way up to Sonoma, and so this is her very first race that she was able to go to. My wife, I've dragged her to a couple races now, and she has fun. She enjoys it. I mean, she's not that super fan that you would want to have on your side, but again, at least she lets me do my thing, which is nice to have.
That's cool. That's very cool. Was this actually your first time going to Sonoma, or have you been there before?
No, this was my first time in Sonoma, and to answer your question about the road course races, I hate watching the road course races on TV because there's so many turns and stuff that the TV crews can't follow the cars on the track.
Mm-hmm.
But when you're there at the racetrack, you can see everything going on that track, and it's so much nicer to know what's going on and to see the action that's going on all around the track and stuff, the people pitting, the people crashing. Where the leaders are compared to everybody else, it's way more informative in person than it is on TV, in my opinion. So I really enjoyed it.
Oh, that's really cool. See, now on the oval tracks, I always have the opposite problem. When I'm at the track and I'm watching the race from pit road, I kind of don't know what's going on. You know, you really can't see the screen or anything like that. So that's cool.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe I'll definitely have to check that out. So
yeah, we had some good seats, so it worked out well.
Nice. So tell me about the ritual that you go through to get ready for a weekend at the track. I saw some of the pictures that you posted.
Well, what we do is this is about 2 days before we get ready to leave, we pull the RV out of storage. Probably a month before that, we start buying things. We start buying these non-perishable items, things that we find on sale or that we get, you know, on a discount or something. And we start making our list to get everything that we need so that when we have the RV out front, we can get it loaded up and ready to go so that when it's time to go, we can just, you know, hop in the driver's seat and take off.
Wow.
And the big thing is to make sure that we have our tickets when we head to the track. So we got there Thursday morning as soon as the campgrounds opened. We got there about 10:30, right after they opened. And so we were there. We were able to get set up, and then we were able to get down to the main gate entrance as the Holler Parade came in from Sacramento for the Holler Parade, and we got to see most of that. So I'm not sure if you saw the video that I sent you with the video of the Holler Parade coming in the gates.
Yeah, that looked really cool. That looked cool. So I saw that you had some trouble finding the actual NASCAR credential hauler, but the staff at Sonoma seemed to help you out, you know.
That was something else. So we went in there finally Friday morning because we went there when Thursday afternoon for the Holler Parade. We went into the main ticket office, and they said that we had to go over to Gate 9. And so as we went into the track on Friday morning to go to that credentialing hauler, we went in and we said, hey, where's Gate 9? That's where we need to go. And they said, oh, just walk up this road right here, and you'll run right into it. And we were walking and we were walking and we were walking and walking. And finally some guy felt sorry for us and picked us up and gave us a ride, and we get down to the end, and it was Gate 7. So we get to Gate 7, we ask them, hey, where's Gate 9? And they don't know where it's at. And then we came all the way back. We had to walk all the way back. So we were able to walk through the track and some of the, you know, merchandise trailers and stuff to check out the track as we came back. It takes about an hour. But the staff there was so nice and helpful to help us find the credential trailer so that we could finally get there. And basically what we had to do is we had to go back to the RV, grab the car, which I'm glad we had, and we had to drive about 10 miles. To go all the way around the track to the other side to find Gate 9 to get into there and back. So it's about 10 miles round trip to do that.
Wow.
It would have been awful to have to walk over the hills and mountains and stuff of the track.
Yeah, wow. They absolutely, that would have been horrible to walk around. Jeez.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so now that you got your credentials, what did you do after that?
Well, what we did was went into the track, went back inside, mm-hmm. and we were able to go down through the tunnels and stuff. And as we get to the gates, of course, the pits are hot because of all the practices and stuff that were going on Friday. And mm-hmm. so we were able to walk right in, and I was able to get pictures of, I mean, put it this way, I actually got goosebumps actually walking through the tunnel knowing that I was getting ready to do this. So it was really cool that I was able to do that. And as I was walking down through the, you know, past the trailers and stuff, I was walking past the driver's lounge. And the first person that comes out of the driver's lounge was A.J. Allmendinger. And I stopped him and I asked him if I could get a picture with him real mm-hmm. quick. And he did. He stopped and got the picture. And as I'm getting mm-hmm. the picture with him, Danica and Ricky Stenhouse Jr. come walking by before I could turn around and get their picture. They were gone. But it was really neat to be able to be within feet of these drivers as they came walking down mm-hmm. In their cars. So I got a ton of pictures of the cars and the vehicles. I did get yelled at because apparently I crossed the red line too far one time, and one of the NASCAR officials said I had to back up, and so that was fine. So I got back where I was supposed to be and just had a great time with it.
So which driver did you enjoy meeting the most, and why?
Well, I guess the karma on me is I'm not a huge Kyle Busch fan. In fact, you've seen my picture that I posted on your page mm-hmm. of kind of you know, mocking him and making a little bit of fun of him at one point during the Fontana race.
Yeah.
And it just so happened that he was the first driver that came out of his hauler, and I was able to get an autograph and a picture with him right away. And he you know, he wasn't, you know, I would say the most joyful person that you would think or whatever, but he wasn't one of those guys that just totally blew you off and wouldn't stop for you to get a picture mm-hmm. and get an autograph and stuff. In fact, I was able to get autographs from all the Joe Gibbs Racing teams, even though those are not really my drivers, except for Kyle Edwards. He's one of the guys I like the most, because my first mm-hmm. time at MIS going through the infield there, he came through probably 10, 11 o'clock at night on the back of a golf cart, shaking hands, signing autographs, and just talking to people coming through there. And I'm like, you know what? I like this guy. I like this kid, because, you know, here's a guy yeah. that's taking the time for his fans to meet mm-hmm. him and greet him. And so Carl Edwards has always been one of the drivers that I've liked the most.
Yeah, he's pretty cool. A couple weeks ago when we were over at, Michigan. It was Chicagoland. So I'm on pit mm-hmm. road. No, I'm sorry. It was Michigan. So we're there, and I'm on pit road, and I'm putting my pit shoes on, and he was, like, signing autographs, like, in front of me. There was a big crowd around, and he saw me through this. He looked at me like, what are you doing? And I was like, I go to the wall, you know. But he kind of, like, gave me the thumbs up and looked at me and smiled. But, yeah, he's really cool. He really
Yeah. In fact, I was able to shake his hand. I even told him, I said, you know, I appreciate what you do for your fans, and I said, mm-hmm. I met you in 2006 when you came walking by, and I really appreciate you taking the time to do that. And he just stopped for a second and looked at me like, wow, okay, you know, that was cool, you know. So he seemed to appreciate that. Now, my wife, on the other hand, she went to her first race 2 years ago at Fontana, and mm-hmm. she happened to pick, you know, we told her that she had to pick a car, and she ended up picking the purple car. She wanted the driver to pick it that was driving the purple car, and it happened to be Brian Vickers in the 55. Well, of course, okay. Brian Vickers had his issues this year with his blood clots, and he's not racing right now. But she stuck with the 55 car, so that's still her car. And so David Reagan was racing and stuff, and she wanted me to tell you that. She felt bad for him because she was the only one waiting outside his trailer on Sunday to get his autograph and get his picture with him.
Aww.
And he stopped and you know, was able to autograph one of the hero cars for her, and she was able to get a nice picture with him that I think I posted on your site and stuff. And but again, she was like the only one that was there. She's like, I just feel bad for him because he's like the only one that likes him or something or whatever.
Aww.
And I was like, no, I'm sure
he's
got
cool
other fans. Yeah,
he's really cool. He is. I've had quite a few conversations with him.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that's good.
Well, what I like about the racetrack here, again, this is my first time here, they have mm-hmm. the K&N Pro Series West was racing along with the Porsche GT3 Series this weekend, along with the sprint cars. And one of the things they did with the fans is they had the K&N Pro Series West autograph session where you could actually be talked off K&N Pro. These are the up-and-coming mm-hmm. drivers. These are the guys that are eventually going to be replacing the you know, some of the ARCA and Xfinity drivers at some point, I'm guessing,
mm-hmm.
you know, with their age being
oh,
so
yeah.
young. they had the Jeff Gordon Q&A on Saturday morning where there was a huge crowd. I would estimate 3,000 to 4,000 plus on the track watching him get his gift bottle of wine that you mentioned earlier.
Oh my God, I saw that picture.
Yeah, it was gigantic and stuff, and it was so nice because people.
Like, I know it looked really, really big on the picture. How big did that bottle of wine look in person?
It didn't look that big in person, but I mean, it was big. It was probably one of the biggest bottles I've seen and stuff. But you know, I don't know. Wow. I probably could have handled it in a day, but anyways. But one of the things that you know he was answering questions of the fans and stuff, and one of the questions was, "What do your kids feel about you retiring?" And he said, look, he goes, my biggest problem with me retiring with my kids is that they're my daughter's afraid that once I retire that I won't be famous anymore, which in turn means that she won't be famous anymore. And
aww.
She's having a hard time dealing with the fact that, you know, she might lose some, being famous if he were to retire and stuff. But it was really neat to have that Q&A and stuff and to see a good side of Jeff answering some of the questions. Some of the other things they did, they had the Sunday drivers meeting where, again, there's probably 3,000, 4,000, 5,000 people on the turn 11, 12 section of the track for the drivers meeting to watch the video and the introduction of the guest dignitaries, which included Arnold Schwarzenegger, who was driving the pace car.
Mm-hmm.
They had a pre-race concert with Lindsey Bruce, who was one of the contestants on The Voice.
Mm-hmm.
Who I hadn't really heard of before, but she was a cute girl and she was a very good singer, and I'm sure she did well on that show.
Nice.
And then before the race, they actually had an actual air show. They had a full-on air show with these jets doing other maneuvers and things before the start of the race. In fact, they did a tribute to Jeff Gordon where they actually did a heart-shaped smoke maneuver with an arrow going through it in tribute to Jeff Gordon. Which was really neat to see them do that for him and stuff as well. So,
as far as the stands,
when I went out looking for tickets and stuff, the stands were looked like they were almost sold out, and I imagine they could have been because there was a lot of campers out in the campgrounds and stuff that I know when I left and stuff that some of them had already packed up and left, probably maybe to go home to watch the race on TV or to get out early before traffic or something. But there seemed like there was a lot of empty seats, but even the track president on the radio, PRN, was saying that it was the biggest crowd that they've had in over 10 years. And he wished Jeff Gordon would retire every year so that they would have that kind of impact and stuff on
that's cool.
You know, that type of attendance on the races.
Gotcha. So let me ask this, since it was, a road course, explain the grandstand seating. Like, where can people sit, and, like, how much of the action can they really see from the seat?
Well, where we were sitting in Section 9, which is just past the S-turns, coming around Turn 7. Turn 7 is where a lot of the action happens as far as passing and stuff on the course, because as you're coming down from Turns 3A and 4 down into Turn 7, that's where you start picking up speed coming downhill. And it's about a 90-degree turn coming out of there. And where we were sitting is just past that in the S-turns, and we could see all but four tiny sections of the course. You could see going through Turns 11 and 12 through the start-finish line, back up through Turns 2, all the way across.
Okay.
The only things that we couldn't really see at the race was we couldn't see Turn 10, and that was where who was it? I think it was Jeb Burton was crashed out there in Turn 10. And then I think up in Turn, just coming out of Turn 7, where Martin Truex ended up into the tires, we couldn't see that actually happen. But they do have, the big screen TVs and stuff on as well.
Oh, I was going to ask you that.
So you can see the replays and stuff. But if you're at the start-finish line, that's probably the best seats to see them as they come across through Turn 11 and 12, but the action there is probably the slowest. Some of the pits are actually blocked where you can't see it because the pits actually are curved around that curve there coming out of Turn 11. And I don't know, I mean, just from where I was sitting, it didn't look like you could see much of the track from that area over there.
Gotcha.
And the seats are where we're sitting. They're actually stadium style. You're sitting on a concrete block is what you sit on.
Oh, wow.
so
it's
not comfortable? Stadium seating. It's not. There's no backs on the seats, but the stadium seating, but they're nice and wide. It's easy to walk through, and you know, lots of room, you know, for all your stuff, you know, and you are allowed to take in, like, little cushions and stuff and or blankets and stuff to sit on a seat if you want that stuff. But it was really, you know, it was really neat to have that where we were sitting where we could see most of the tracks.
Well, let me ask you this. Now, you were allowed on pit road. Well, were you allowed on pit road during the race? And I know you had hot passes and stuff, so normally at oval tracks you can. Just not sure what pit road is like at Sonoma.
We were allowed to go down there, but here's the deal was with us having our daughter here with us and stuff too. We wanted to make sure that we, you know, were, you know, she was didn't want to sit at the races all by herself. But we were trying to get down to pit road. We were down there for the drivers' meeting before the race. We were on pit road prior to the start while they're doing things. And what was happened was there was such a lack of control of the people that were down there because all the people that had drivers' meeting passes ended up on pit road. So I don't think they were supposed to have been on pit road, but they were there. So there were thousands and thousands and thousands of people down there. And it just got so packed and so busy, it got to where you couldn't see anything. You were 15, 20, 30 people deep from the cars, from the pit boxes and stuff. And so they could actually get those people cleared. Even after they got the people cleared, it was still 20, 30 deep on pit road. So my wife and I at that point decided to go to our seats and then maybe try to get back down later on to check it out on pit road, you know, for the race and stuff.
Yeah. I hate when that happens.
Yeah, so that's what happened. That's why we didn't really get on there.
Gotcha.
Now we were on pit road.
Charlotte.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, and that sucked. But go ahead.
Well, I should say we were on pit road for the qualifying. So we were there for the qualifying on Saturday when they did qualifying for the sprint cars. And, in fact, Jamie McMurray pushed me out of his way because apparently he didn't do very well. And even though I was all the way over to the side, apparently I was still in his way. So he pushed past me and kept on walking. And again, sorry, Jamie, for getting in your way. But but it was nice to see that up close. So.
Well, that's cool. So let's talk a little about the track itself. Like, what were the facilities like?
The facilities were actually not too bad as far as the toilets and bathrooms. It was mostly porta potties throughout the track and stuff. There was one bathroom that we did find on the main grandstands and stuff. And there's two tunnels. So there's the first tunnel that gets in, and they had some of the souvenir merchandise trailers for the cups. They had the Toyota Ferris wheel and Toyota Zone over in that section. And then you had to go through the second tunnel to get across the track to get over to the main area of the fun zone over there. They had the Save Mart tent, which is where a lot of the autograph sessions happened. They didn't have a sprint zone, and the only thing they really offered for a sprint zone was anything they even to have to deal with, this, you know, getting a picture with the sprint cup, was a 20-minute autograph and picture session with the sprint girls during one point of the and I was busy doing something else, so I didn't even get to go, you know, do that.
Gosh.
There's lots of different vendors. They had the Big O tires, the go kart race, and the 5150 energy drinks. The Nathan hot dogs kid zone was there for the kids with a, you know, a slide, one of those blow up slide things, and the hot dog eating contest qualifier that they had for this next weekend. They had more drivers merchandise trailers back there as well. They had the, tractors and semi-trucks and things, because a lot of the, you know, stuff up here in Northern California, there's a lot of farming areas and stuff. So you had, you know, hail balers and tractors and things that they were, I guess, trying to sell or, you know, to show off that they had. So a lot of merchandise type stuff, like you would see at some of the other tracks.
Cool. So now they had a good amount of stuff that catered to families with kids and everything too.
They, like I said, they had the one section of the, you know, Nathan's Hot Dogs had a section for kids, but I didn't see a whole lot of stuff that catered specifically to kids or families specifically. So, I mean, they had the Sprint Girls were there, the Sonoma Girls, the 5150 Girls, the Mike Hart Lemonade Girls, the Big O Tire Girls. Stuff for, I guess, for guys, you know, that kind of thing.
Gotcha.
The advertising for the guys type stuff. But the Nathan's Hot Dog thing was basically the biggest kid section that was there.
All right, cool. So now, what other tracks have you been to besides Sonoma?
I've been to I have an infield site that I go to every year at Fontana at Auto Club Speedway for the races in March. I go to Michigan. In fact, I'll be in Michigan in August for the August race. I missed it this year because I was going here to Sonoma. So normally I go in June, but this year I skipped that one to come here to Sonoma. And then I'm going to my intent right now is 100% is to go to the Phoenix race in November as well. That's about 4 or 5 hours from where I live, so I'm looking to go to the Phoenix Racing Camp there as well to do that. And my thing is this, is that if anybody has never actually done the camping, the NASCAR, it's something they should really look into as far as, you know, if you're going to go into town and spend money on a hotel anyways or do something like that, that to me it's way cheaper to buy your own food, buy your own drinks, get your camping spot, and then come and go as you want, and it's a lot of fun. So I really highly recommend it for anybody to do that.
So now, is camping the only way that you go to the races?
I'm sorry?
Is camping and bringing the RV, is that the only way that you will go to the races?
It's the only way right now that I'll go to the NASCAR races. I did go to the Indy races at Long Beach earlier this year, back in, I think it was April or March or something. I don't remember now. But I went to the Indy races in Long Beach, and that was just for the day. I didn't stay or anything. And that's about an hour away from me. But, you know, I just, you know, it's just so much of an experience with the camping. If you like to camp, if you like to party, and you like NASCAR, then that's the best way to go, hands down.
Cool. So what was like the best thing that you liked and the least thing that you liked about Sonoma?
The best thing I liked was one, I tell you, Jen, was having that hot pass. I was able to meet Richard Childress and Jack Roush. In fact, Jack Roush actually signed my hot pass and stuff. That was so neat. It was beautiful. I mean, just the countryside and being here and actually seeing the race where, like I said earlier, was to actually see the race from the seating rather than trying to watch it on TV where they may only show one or two cars, and, of course, they're going around so many different corners that, you know, the cameras really can't keep up with them. And it makes it, to me, just personally, my opinion, it makes it a little boring. But when you're there and you see everything that's going on, it makes it nice. The least thing that I liked about it was, I don't know, I mean, it did get hot. I mean, it was probably in the 90s, 95, 96. I did get sunburned pretty good.
I always do.
But other than that, I mean, I really can't complain. I had a great time. I met some great friends and new friends in the campgrounds. You know, Sean Forehand, I don't know if he's listening to this or not, but he was one of the guys that pulled up next to me, and it was great meeting him and his buddies, and we just had a great time.
I saw that you got a picture taken with those Sonoma girls. Now, I saw them. Oh. I saw that they were in Victory Lane on pit road, okay, but what else did they do for the weekend? Like, did they just hang out, or were they promoting something, and what did they do to promote Sonoma? Like, anything specific? Did they give away tickets, interact with crowd? Like, what did they actually do that whole weekend?
You know, I didn't see them very often. I saw them walking through the garage area one time. That's where I got my picture with them. In fact, I like to refer to them as my future ex-wives is how I refer to them. but anyways, they walk around. They go to the Save Mart tents and stuff, and some of the, you know, when they're doing the autograph sessions, when they're doing the giveaways and the raffles and things for different prizes and things, they did have one, again, just like the Sprint girls, they did a 20-minute autograph session and photo session with them. Which, again, I don't think that's enough time, you know, to spend for – if you're that's what you're doing, and then I think they should be more visible and stuff. But I hardly saw them while I was there. But, again, they are beautiful girls, and you know, I'm sure they're doing what they're supposed to do. But I didn't see them a whole lot while I was there.
Okay. Because, I mean, I saw them in Victory Lane, you know, and the first thing that I thought was, oh, boy, I wonder if Miss Sprint or Sprint itself would have a problem with that, you know, because – the Sprint Miss Sprint Cup is supposed to be the exclusive girls in Victory Lane, and they don't wear outfits showing as much skin as the Sonoma girls did. So I was really curious about that. So did you go to the Victory Lane area after the race? Did you check that out?
There was so much of a rush coming back through those tunnels, and again, my battery was dead on my phone. That you know, I was. And at that point, you know, like I said, it was 90 some degrees, and I hate to make excuses. I should have been there. But I didn't get back over there because it was quite, you know, it's quite a long walk to get back from where we're sitting back over to the Victory Lane with the battery dying. I think I sent you a text to apologize, saying, "Hey, I'm sorry, you know, I couldn't get back over there."
Yeah, no problem.
With the rush of people coming back, I was just on the wrong side of the track for that one.
Gotcha. But I was just wondering if the Spring Cup girls were actually in there also, you know, because I didn't see them on TV. And I was thinking maybe if you saw, maybe I missed them or something, you know. I don't know. I was like, oh, boy.
I mean, I know it's all going away,
but.
I did post some pictures to you with me with a couple of them. And,
okay.
And they're cute. I mean, there's some cuties and stuff. But my whole thing was this. I think the thing that I didn't like the most at the track was, again, I'm not a big autograph guy. I did get several autographs. I got a lot of pictures with the drivers and stuff. In fact, with the Rocket Man, you know, with Ryan Newman, I'm like, hey, you know, Mr. Newman, can I get a photo? And he's like, yeah, walk with me. Well, you got to walk 100 miles an hour. And you got to take a selfie while you're running 100 miles an hour trying to get the picture in the frame and stuff. And he's not stopping or, you know, whatever. What I didn't like the most, though, was there were some fans that were there that were just overly aggressive. Like for the Jimmy Johnsons and the Dale Juniors and the, you know, the Harvicks and stuff, they were stopping to sign things, big things. If you had a helmet that you spent $100-some on or whatever, they would sign those and stuff. Or if you were a kid. So that's the secret. Take your kids with you. And they'll generally stop for the kids and sign their stuff. But there were some people that were so aggressive. That one lady was so aggressive, she got right in front of Dale Jr. He actually tripped over her. And then after he was done. He wasn't signing any more autographs. He wasn't taking any more pictures. He was heading straight to his car, and no one was allowed to be anywhere near him after she did that. And she did it again to Jimmy Johnson. She did it again to another driver. I don't remember right now. And
that's not good.
All I got to say to those fans is, look, give them some space. Give, you know, so that we don't you know, lose out on, you know, the other fans that really want to, you know, maybe, you know, just shake their hand or get a picture or something of them as they walk by. And that kind of ruined it for me when, you know, you get these fans that are just so aggressive that they're making the drivers literally trip over them to get out to their cars. One shout out is I know there's some people that really have an issue with and don't like Annika Patrick a lot. She was, as far as her personality came out and made sure that anybody that was outside her trailer that wanted a picture with her or wanted an autograph with her, that she made sure that she stayed until every single person got what they wanted before she left.
That's cool. And you don't hear that a lot about her. That's cool to hear.
Well, like I said, people complain that, you know, she may be a really crummy driver, but as far as her personality and her specifically, she really cares and takes care of her fans. And that's, I think, you know, it's important for fans. That's why I like Carl Edwards the same way, you know, because he took care of his
Carl's
fans.
Really cool. Well, I love when Carl, like, wins and he does his backflip and then goes into the fans, into the stands. I love that. So that's really cool.
Right.
That's really good to hear about Danica because, you know, I hear a lot of things and you know, it's always like, oh, Danica kind of brushed past me. And I'm like, well, you know, she's got things to do. But, you know, I understand that people don't understand that. But, I'm glad to hear that. Hey, did you visit any of the wineries that were out there and get the full Sonoma experience?
No, I didn't. I try to take as much advantage of those hot passes as possible. But my wife and daughter, they actually had a tram, a bus shuttle going back and forth from the campgrounds to the winery, so they could go out there, they could visit the wineries. They got some great pictures. If you want me to send those to you, I can send those to you as well. And
so
she and my daughter had a
great
time.
You can go to the winery with the tram.
The good thing with that is they could go to the wineries, they could do the wine tastings, they could drink, and they didn't have to drive to get back. And that was what
was
really
amazing.
Nice with that. Right.
I really
want to
go
cool.
there. That's really, really cool. So you said that you plan on going to Phoenix and Michigan coming up for the rest of this year.
Correct.
Okay. So out of those tracks there, was there anything that kind of stood out at Sonoma that you kind of wish the other tracks that you're going to go see had, or anything that kind of makes Sonoma a better experience than the other two tracks that you've been to?
You know, I think that with Sonoma being the setup that it is with the road course and as long as, in the, you know, with the hills and being built on the side of a mountain, you can't really get that experience at Phoenix, I don't think, or Michigan. It's always going to be a lot of walking unless you have a bike or something, but you're going to do a lot of walking either way. I think Michigan, the pits, for me, to get to the pits and stuff is a lot easier. But I enjoyed it. I had a great time there, and I can't wait to do it again.
Nice.
It was a lot of fun.
Cool. Well, I want to ask you, I want to go into this now. Now, you're known as the infield guru. So tell me, how did that come to be, and what is the infield guru?
Well, the way that started was I had a campsite in Fontana when I first was able to get in there, because to get an infield site to Fontana, they're sold out. They've been sold out for several years now. And so when I got my site, I got an area that was called the Swamp, which apparently it floods when it rains. And, of course, we don't get much rain out here, so it was fine. But there's a big concrete area right in front of the RV, and which was fine. It was great to have the extra room and stuff. But the problem was that there was probably about 100 to 150 kids that were riding their bikes. They were skateboarding. They were doing their remote-controlled cars. It was literally like Lord of the Flies. And trust me and my wife, we love kids. But when there's 150 kids out there, and it's just kid noise and kids screaming and kids getting hurt because they fall off of things, we didn't enjoy it because we were basically hiding in the back of the RV the entire time we were there. So what started with the Infield Guru and stuff was I wanted to create a page of, you know, serious NASCAR fans that could help each other out that, you know, hey, so I posted on there, hey, I'm looking for a spot at, you know, Fontana where I can move to, which is a decent site. And even though my wife and I, we walked around the entire track to find out, okay, where would we want to move to, you know, if we wanted to do that. And what we found out was later was when I did get offered a renewal for my site, it didn't matter. They only offered me two options to move sites anyways. So it really wouldn't have mattered whether anybody, you know, had told me on the page or whatever. And so it ended up growing into something way bigger. And, you know, just, in fact, I've only had the Facebook page for 10 months. I just hit 3,600 today, 3,600 fans. Nice. I appreciate them. Thank you very much for following that. I try to keep it original. I don't like a lot of the Facebook pages where all they do is share the same stuff that somebody else has already had, or they actually plagiarize the entire post to make it their own. And I can get that off the original post a lot of times. So there's a lot of pages out there like that. And I try to keep the majority of my stuff on that page 100%, or, well, let's say 95% original. I do share some stuff when I think it's pertinent to the infield RV camping community, that people that go to the tracks and camp. And the idea is to be a forum in the community of people that can help each other out. If you have a bus or an RV to sell and you want to get rid of it, you want to get more exposure to it, you know, or post pictures of the different races or the funny things that go on there. I do lose some fans because, you know, I'm kind of neutral. I love all the race car drivers. Carl Edwards and Jimmy Johnson, those are my two that I, you know, those are my guys. As far as the other ones, I don't hate them, and I don't necessarily love them. But there's, you know, sometimes when I hear them crying after a race or something that happened or whatever, that, you know, to me it was just racing, and they get all their feelings all hurt about it and stuff, I'll create a meme or two, and I'll make a little bit of fun of them and stuff. It's, people don't like that, and that's one thing that I find is, you know, people don't like it. But you know what? It's the truth. And I try to keep it ambiguous where if you hate them, you love the post. If you love them, you love the post. I get people that unfriend me or unfollow me because they don't like that I'm making fun of a particular driver. But, you know, it happens, and I'm okay with that. So.
All right. So now your Infield Guru blog post, it's on Facebook?
My Facebook page is called the NASCAR Infield RV Camping Forum, and, you know, people could like me there and follow me there. I'm also on Twitter at Infield Guru. And from my Facebook page, you can actually click on there's a web link on the Facebook page, which will take you to my blog and stuff. And I'm not doing 100 blogs a day or 100 posts a day. I try to keep it where people want to keep following me because I'm not, you know, making so much noise on there that I start annoying them and stuff. So I try to keep it down to a minimum. I try to keep it original. And, again, share it with your NASCAR friends. If you're a serious NASCAR camping fan, I want you on that page. And it's for you.
Well, you know, I would like to work with you in some capacity. Now, I don't know how just yet, but I've been speaking with my web designer, David Allen, about it. And, you know, we'll try to figure it out. Now, if you have any ideas and if you're interested, I mean, I'd like to explore those options too. I think what you do on your blog is really interesting. I think it's informative, and I think, you know, a lot of race fans that are going to the race fans, you know, whether it's their 100th time going or the first time ever, you know, I think that they'll really like it, and I think what you do is pretty good. Ideally, I'd like it if we could, like, somehow incorporate your Infield Guru blog post on, you know, the racefansrock.com social community that I have, you know. Mm-hmm. And by the way, thank you for joining it. I really appreciate it. What's your feedback on racefansrock.com? Because I know that you signed up for it. What do you think of the site so far?
My feedback is I wish that there was more. The only thing I would say is I wish there was more people that were on there more often.
Me too.
And
me too.
I wish that there was a way or tool, because when I go on a Facebook, a lot of times I go away to escape reality, and I'll play a game mm-hmm. or two on there and stuff. So I wish that there was some kind of interactive game or something, whether it be a racing game or something that, or even a NASCAR fantasy league on the page where we could interact with other fans on that page and stuff to be more interactive and stuff, and you know, want to be on there a little bit more often.
That sounds good. Yeah. Right now we have over 200 members on it, and you know, but the interactions that's on it, it's the numbers are ridiculously high. So that's always mm-hmm. good. But yeah, that's pretty cool. You know, we do have a blog tab, a blog posting tab on that site. And, you know,
right.
if you'd like, you could repost your Infield Guru blog post on there as well. And, you know,
I did post
yeah.
a couple blogs on there. And my thing was, I was going to try to blog throughout the whole trip, but then, you know, when you realize you don't have a hotspot and you can't, you know,
yeah.
get the Wi-Fi,
yeah, it's hard.
It makes it hard to catch up on the blog.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm going to try to catch up on some of the blogs. And I did post a couple blogs prior to leaving for Sonoma on your page. So I hope the people read
okay.
those and take them out as well.
Cool. Yeah, I mean, I think once we get a little bit more stuff on Race Fans Rock, and we'll get more people coming on over. So, but yeah, thank you for your feedback. I'm glad that you like it so far. Is there anything else that you would like to speak about that we didn't get to yet?
All I can say is for all your fans out there, and I know I told you not to tell Brian this. I love you, Dan. I'm telling you, that was the
thank
best
you.
Experience in my life. To get
cool.
in there and do that, and if you're going to a race, and I'll tell you right now, if any of these other races I'm going to are coming up and you need an infield reporter, just let me know out there. I'm your guy. Just, you know, but
yeah,
I know
good.
You want to try to share the wealth and let other people experience that as well, and I highly recommend anybody that wants to do it to do it. It's a great experience. Really appreciate it.
Thank you very much. All right, Paul, well, thanks very, very much for being my dedicated fan and the Stan reporter. You did a great job, and I'm really glad that you had a good time. Please say hi to your wife and daughter and family. So, you know, we'll definitely keep in touch, you know. And if you have any other pictures that you want to send me, I'll definitely post them up on your page on my website, and it'll stay there forever. So,
yeah, I'll probably wait till I get back so I have a better connection for you. So that way I can see which ones I might have sent you or whatever. I might just post a big folder. That way you can go through them as well and check it out. So,
okay.
So I probably took 600 pictures. Who knows?
Wow. Sounds good.
Thanks.
All right. Well, have a great night, and thanks again for coming on the show and doing everything you did.
All right. Thanks, Ann. Have a good one. Bye.
All right. You too. Bye. Very cool. Very cool. He said it was the best time he's ever had, right? So if you want to be one of my future dedicated Fan in the Sands reporters at an upcoming NASCAR race this year, connect with me and tell me which races you're planning on going to and give me a good reason why I should pick you, and maybe I will. If I do, I'll send you some garage passes, and I'll send you to the track on a mission for me, following along. As you can see, you'll be helping me and a lot of other race fans stay updated all weekend long while you have the best time you've ever had at the racetrack. And you just heard what Paul said. He did have the best time he ever had at the racetrack. So I can make you that promise. Now, it's time for me to give a shout-out to my sponsors. First, we'll start out with Highland Wealth Advisors, LLC. Highland Wealth Advisors, LLC, is a wealth and profitability company designed to help individuals and businesses manage their finances to help them not only grow their businesses, but improve their quality of life as well. They've been a huge supporter of this Race Fans Rock radio show, InfieldGen.com, and a strong supporter of Brian Keselowski Motorsports. And they are huge at supporting RaceFansRock.com, which is my social community dedicated to racing and everyone in it. Now, Highland Wealth Advisors, LLC, have helped thousands of their clients to choose the lifestyle that they've always wanted, and they've provided them with the peace of mind and the kind of financial stability that they were looking for. Now, Highland Wealth Advisors, LLC, will help you live the good life too. So for more information and to schedule your consultation, visit www.highlandwealthny.com today. That's highlandwealthny.com. understand, hey, if you're in the North Carolina, Charlotte areas or surrounding areas and your house is a freaking mess, don't worry. Just call Pace Cleaning Services and they will get your home or office back in tip-top shape and smelling great in no time at all. There is absolutely no job that they can't handle that's not too big, it's not too small, and it ain't too disgusting. Trust me. I have 3 basset hounds, and they get dirty and stinky pretty quickly. You know, the hound dogs, Jay, only look low maintenance, but they can be real stinkers. Well, Tate's Cleaning Services has helped me out time and time again, and they are a fully licensed and insured resident cleaning company. They clean residential homes and commercial buildings and offices. So you can find them on Facebook, / Tate's Cleaning Services, that's T-A-T-E-S, Cleaning Services, or you can email them at northcarolinamaid@gmail.com, or you can give them a call at 763-269-1919. Make sure that you tell them Infill Jen sent you. They'll probably get a discount. And I'm telling you, they're the best at what they do, and you will not be disappointed with their results, okay? So now let's talk a little about RaceFansRock.com. Again, it's my social community dedicated to racing and everyone in it, and I mean everyone. It's designed for race fans, drivers, teams, members of NASCAR, ARCA, and members of the media to all come together and interact easily. So what are you waiting for to join? I mean, it's free to join. It's easy to sign up. My web designer, David Allen, and I are working to make it the hottest social site for racing on the entire Internet. So we've combined the best features of popular social media like Facebook, Twitter, and Google+. We've squished it all into one community. And it's dedicated to racing only. So get in on it now and watch it keep growing. We're doing really cool things on there every week. We have cool giveaways and prizes, and we have a lot more to come. We've made it so easy to stay connected with the integration of Facebook and Twitter, and that's where you post directly to Facebook and Twitter when you post to Race Fans Rock. Really cool, and it works. Plus, we took it one step further with the complete and total Twitter integration. And you just easily connect your Twitter account to Race Fans Rock, and you'll see your entire Twitter feed on RaceFansRock.com. You can tweet, favorite, quote, retweet, and you can do it all from RaceFansRock.com, and it'll post to Twitter from RaceFansRock.com. So as I was telling Paul, we are over 200 members strong right now, and it's growing every day. It launched on April 6th this year, and I checked out the stats just before the show started, and we are over 122,000 page views and interactions since April 6th. That's freaking cool. And that tells me one thing. When our members sign into RaceFansRock.com, they stay on RaceFansRock.com, and that's really cool. You know, it's exactly what I wanted to accomplish with RaceFansRock.com. We're working really hard to make this site everything that I know a race fan will love and wants to be a part of. You know, while it's a huge benefit to the racing community, that includes teams, drivers, sanctioning bodies, and, of course, the media. So, hey, check it out and join it today. I have so much planned for RaceFansRock.com. Now, coming real soon, we're going to be posting all the results to include practice sessions, qualifying, and race results. We're doing a lot on the back ends of it to make it more mobile-friendly until we build the apps for the iPhone and Android, but they are coming. Feedback's been excellent, and everyone who has joined has said that they're really enjoying it. But by far, my favorite feature about the whole individual live chat room is that I set up every driver in the top 3 series and then some, and I have my Infill Jen social sofa chat room set up in there, too. And I love that chat room. But you can instantly connect with other fans that like the same drivers as you do, and you never know when that driver will actually pop in there to chat with his or her fans live and in real time. So after you become a member, which is really easy to do, to get to the chat room, you just click on the chat tab. You'll see it says Browse Chat Room. Click on that and then look for your favorite driver's name or, you know, the one that says Infill Jen Social Sofa. Click on that while the races are going on, and you'll be in my live chat room with me talking in real time about the races lap by lap that we're watching together live. It's pretty cool. I posted the racing updates on my Facebook fan page before, but I got to tell you, it's so much better doing it in the live chat room. It's instant and more interactive than anything you can do on Facebook or Twitter. So the goal with RaceFansRock.com is to build it into a one-stop social media shop for everyone to stay up to date with everything and everyone in racing, that all-in-one awesome site. And so far, it's going really well. So it's coming together as I wanted it to, and it's meeting all of my expectations. So if you haven't joined it already, please do it now. You're going to love it as much as I do. And we have a lot more in store for racefansrock.com, so don't miss out on it. Join it now and watch it grow into the best, hottest social racing site on the entire internet. And I really like what Paul had to say, some kind of like game on there and whatnot. I will be having another conversation with David Allen tonight about that. And, while you're on racefansrock.com, check out the merchandise tab. It's I actually partnered with David. He has a store called racegear.com, and he sells everything from, you know, T-shirts, hats, diecasts. He's got a lot of cool stuff in his store. So check that out. It's all integrated into racefansrock.com. You get all your fan equipment that you need right there. Like I said, signing up is easy, and best of all, it's free. And once you become a member, make sure you add me as your friend, and you can have as many friends on there as you'd like, unlike some other social sites who limit you. I mean, I can't stand that Facebook does that. I have 5,000 people on one page, and then I have to have a fan page, and they kind of go back and forth, and it's double posting. It's such a pain in the ass. It really is. But with Race Fans Rock, you won't have to do that. The sky's the limit, so be friends with everyone if you want. All right, moving on. And I started talking about it a little earlier in the show, but I'm really, really happy to say that Brian Keselowski is going to his first ARCA race of the season as the owner and as the driver of his number 29 Ford Fusion, that brand spanking new race car of his that he created, that he made. And he'll be racing it at the upcoming Sous Chef PowerPex 200 at Lucas Oil Raceway Park on July 24th. Man, I'm telling you, I was beginning to think that it wasn't going to happen, and we'd have another beautiful car just sitting in our shop. But thankfully, that's not going to happen this time. A big part of being able to do was from thousands of sponsors with our fan sponsorship program. I will never lose faith in the power of the race fan. Now, while we are going to do this, we still have space available on the car. And yeah, we could use a little more sponsorship to go to the track and know that we can do it to the best of our ability to ensure a great finish. And Brian really loves this car, and his attention to detail while building it was impeccable. I've never seen him, like, care about something so much, besides me. Anyway, it's immaculate, and you could eat off the floorboards. I'm not even kidding. So the race is going to be televised live and rerun on Fox Sports 1 a couple times. So, you know, if you've been thinking about getting your feet wet in the motorsports industry, a good way to go about it is to get on board as a sponsor with Brian Keselowski Motorsports. Now, in addition to just having a decal on our car or a patch on Brian's uniform, you know, we offer really attractive packages that include representation on both BrianKeselowski.com and InfieldGen.com, extensive social media awareness that includes Facebook, Twitter, LinkedIn, Google+, Instagram, Pinterest, Periscope, oh, I love that web, YouTube, and more, as well as live commercials right here on the show. And we can even include some VIP experience passes to the ARCA race and or to a NASCAR Sprint Cup race of our sponsor's choice. Hell, in a few weeks, I'm going to get my InfieldGen Race Fans Rock Fire suit, and I'll have space on there as well. So, you know, you can get some space on there. We always strive to do more for our sponsors and make it a successful partnership, you know. Working with our team really is a good opportunity for you to get the word out about your business, your product, your brand, and if you want to make an announcement on your, you know, like happy birthday to someone, a happy anniversary, or hey, will you marry me, you know, and use our car and our team as a vessel for you to do that, let me know and I'll make it happen for you. So if it sounds like something I know you're going to enjoy doing it, but if it sounds like something that you will enjoy doing and you want to become a member of our team, then connect with me as soon as you can and let's work together. All your inquiries will be answered directly by me, and I can be reached at infieldgen@gmail.com. So let me tell you a little bit more about my InfieldGen fan sponsorship program, which really helped us get Brian back on track. My InfieldGen fan sponsorship program was another thing I came up with to connect with race fans, allow them to have the access that they are dying to have, give them the chance to meet all of their favorite drivers while they help teams like mine get the things we need to get back on track to race. I'm literally turning race fans into sponsors every single day. It's awesome. And I can do this for you, too. Now, I bet you didn't know that you could be considered a team sponsor for as little as $100. Yeah, I said $100. Now, based on the different packages that we're offering, you know, our sponsors will receive a VIP pass, or a few of them, to a NASCAR Sprint Cup race of their choice for any of the races during the 2015 NASCAR season. For more information, go to infieldgen.com/fan-sponsorship. I have it all written out, and I've posted a list of commonly asked questions, so you'll have all the information that you'll need right there to make an informed decision. So you read it and thoroughly think it through. The only thing you need to do next is contact me and tell me when I can make you a team sponsor too. So that's infieldgen.com/fan-sponsorship. So go check it out, and I'm telling you, you never knew how easy it is to become a sponsor, while it'll allow you to have the best time you've ever had at the racetrack. I'll customize packages as well, so if you want to see your logo on a NASCAR Sprint Cup Series car, I can make that happen too. So go check it out, and I hope to hear from you soon. Okay, so now that the NASCAR Sprint Cup guys and girls have had their weekend in wine country, and God, I wish I was there for that. But anyway, now that Sonoma is in the books and the NASCAR Xfinity Series peeps have enjoyed their weekend off, it's back to work for them as the NASCAR Sprint Cup and Xfinity Series heads back to the beach at Daytona International Speedway. Now, if you know me, then you know Daytona is on my list of favorite tracks to go to, and it kills me that I will not be there this week. It kills me. But let's get started on who's in it and who's driving what this weekend. The entry list for the Coke Zero 400 Sprint Cup Series race at Daytona International Speedway has 45 teams on it for only 43 available spots, which means two teams will be going home after qualifying. Some notables include Ryan Blaney will be in the 21, Bobby Labonte will be in the 32 for Go Green Racing. Good job. Good luck, Bobby. Brian Scott will be in the number 33, Brett Moffat will be in the number 34, and Michael McDowell will be in the number 95. Now, drivers who need to be in the top 36 in speed and have no provisional available to them, which means they are the lowest in onus points, are the number 62 of Brendan Gaughan, who is 46th in onus points, and the number 26, Jeb Burton, who is 44th in onus points. Now, drivers who would miss the race, if qualifying is canceled, rained out, or for whatever reason, because they have the least amount of race attempts this year, would be Ryan Blaney in the 21, who only has 6 attempts this year, and Michael McDowell in the number 95, who only has 9 attempts this year. The race is set to start on Sunday, July 5th at 7:45 p.m. Eastern Time on NBC. Then we'll take over on Sunday and be the only network to broadcast the rest of the NASCAR Sprint Cup races this year. All right, on to the NASCAR Xfinity Series entry list. There's 44 cars on the list for Saturday's Subway Firecracker 250 at Daytona International Speedway. We have Mark Thompson in the number 13. Scott Lagazzi will be in the number 15 for Rick Ware Racing. David Reagan is entered in the Joe Gibbs number 20 car. Timmy Hill will be in the JGL number 26. Chris Cockrum and the number 37 team will try their luck again and attempt their second race of the season. Eric Jones will be in the Joe Gibbs Racing number 54. Benny Gordon and the number 66 team will attempt their first race this year. Bobby Gearhart, a good friend of mine, is entered in the number 85, and good luck to all those guys. The race is set to start on Saturday, July 4th at 7:30 p.m. Eastern Time on NBCSN. Again, NBCSN and NBC will also be the only networks to broadcast the remaining NASCAR Xfinity Series races this year. Now, however, when it comes to the NASCAR Camping World Truck Series, all of those races will continue to be broadcasted on Fox Sports 1, and one race in October will be on Fox. The Truck Series guys and girls will be enjoying another weekend off and will return to the track the following weekend at Kentucky Speedway in the UNOH 225. And I'll talk more about that race next week on the show. Now, here's a cool story that came out of the news this week. As you all know, the number 55 Viva Motorsports in the NASCAR Xfinity Series, that team called it quits and closed up shop after their race in Michigan International Speedway a few weeks ago. Well, the good news is that not all hope is lost, because Virginia businessman Rick Kadovic purchased all of Viva's stock car racing assets last week and will race out of its former China Grove, North Carolina shop under the new team name Precision Performance Motorsports. Rick said he isn't sure when the team will resume racing in the Xfinity Series. He said they may race at the Iowa Speedway on August 1st and at Watkins Glen International on August 8th. Now, Rick's son, Brandon Kadovic, has his heart set on becoming a familiar and steady driver in the NASCAR Xfinity Series, and he is familiar with the Iowa and Watkins Glen racetrack. Now, Rick Kadovic went on to say that Brandon will be one of the drivers when the team rejoined the Xfinity Series as PPM. Brandon is a former K&M Pro Series East winner, and he is driving full-time in the Lamborghini Super Trofeo Series this year. He raced twice this season for Viva in the Xfinity Series at Texas and Richmond, and the current plan, according to Rikadovic, is to run selected Xfinity Series races to finish the season while securing additional sponsorship and drivers to run most of the races in 2016. He said that their PPM Xfinity Series cars will be available to rent by other drivers as well. But I know a few drivers that would be interested in that, and I'll be making some phone calls after the show. Well, I wish Rick and Brandon lots of luck and success on their new venture in the NASCAR Xfinity Series as a team owner and driver. It is by far no means an easy thing to do, but it is definitely worth it to give it all you got to reap the potential rewards. So good luck to those guys. Now, if you're not at the track this weekend and you're not able to catch the action on NBC and NBCSN, that's okay. Just grab a seat with me on my social sofa in my very own live social sofa chat room on racefansrock.com. I really, really want to get away from posting the lap-by-lap races, race updates on Facebook, since it takes too long for people to read it and respond, you know. You'll be able to chat with me and others live all race long in the live social sofa chat room right on racefansrock.com. Keep in touch with me and continue sending me your questions and requests all week long. Find me on racefansrock.com by simply typing in Phil Jen in the search box and add me as your friend. You can still connect with me on Facebook at facebook.com/infieldgenfanpage and facebook.com/racefansrock. You can follow me on Twitter at infieldgen, and I'm also on Instagram, LinkedIn, Google+, YouTube, Pinterest, Periscope, and more. Be sure to visit my website, infieldgen.com, on a daily basis, and check out the latest news, pictures, videos, race results to include all practice sessions, qualifying sessions, and final race results, complete with race notes and penalty reports for every race. Make sure you also check out my new blog posts, cool fan stories, post-race audio interviews straight from the media centers at each racetrack, different teams' press releases, photos from my dedicated fan in the stands reporters every weekend, and so much more. Check it out, see what you missed, and get all caught up. It's all right there on infieldgen.com. Then don't forget to click over to my merchandise tab and get yourself some Infield Gen gear. I got some pretty cool stuff up there. I'm out of time for tonight's show, and I want to thank everyone who shared their opinion socially on today's topic of discussion. I want to thank Highland Wealth Advisors, LLC, for their continued support, Chase Cleaning Services for helping me keep a clean home, and to everyone who tuned in. I hope you guys enjoy this weekend's races at my favorite track, Daytona International Speedway. I can't wait to see all the pictures and fun that everyone at the racetrack will have this weekend, and it's all going to be posted on infieldgen.com under the Fan Central section. Now, I'm still trying to figure out who's going to be my dedicated fan and the stand reporter for Daytona, but once I do, and I know I will, you'll get to hear all about it on the show next week. Now, even if I don't find one for this weekend, I promise you next week's show is going to be filled with an awesome guest. Thank you for tuning in tonight, and we'll get to do this again next Tuesday evening, and I hope you tune in for that one too. Have a great week, and I'll catch up with you again right here, same day, same time, and remember everyone, race fans rock. So join today. Good night.